I want to turn to Romans chapter 1. We've got some that are out sick that I know of. Brother Mark, Sister Ruth, Sharon, Brother Al's pretty sick. Jody's sick. I'm sure there's probably some others as well, but do pray for these. Looking at Romans 1, verses 18 through 32, it's going to take us a while before we actually get into all of those verses, and it's going to more or less be a survey when we do, but verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." The last few weeks we've looked at just kind of a summary of all of these verses and what they illustrate. But to fully understand what we read here in verses 18 through 32, we need to understand the problem and the plague of sin. There's no real understanding of these verses without understanding sin. And again, these verses are a biblical account, really, a kind of a biblical summary of the history of mankind. It's pretty much summarized here in Romans chapter 1. And as we've said over and over, it's an explanation of why things are as they are. It is an explanation of why it's happening and pretty much what's going to happen next. So any understanding and grasp of this portion of Scripture gives us some clarity as to why things are as they are. Why is it important that we understand why things are as they are? Because if you don't understand why, you really don't have the solution. You don't have the answer or the remedy. So it's very important that we have some clarity of why things are the way they are. Why are they getting progressively worse? And the world, of course, has no idea. Sadly, it appears that most who profess to be saved, they have no idea of why. Why are things getting progressively worse? Well, what we read here in Romans 1 reveals the problem of sin, and that is the problem, that is the root. Nothing is going to be fixed until you get to that root problem, sin. And God is the only answer for the problem of sin. He's the only answer. There's no other. We see here the plague of sin. So we have to have an understanding of the nature of sin. We have to understand that, the nature of sin. It's illustrated all through the Scriptures, beginning with Genesis chapter 3. We see the nature of sin. So we want to begin with, as we deal with the problem and plague of sin, if there's sin, there has to be a standard. If there's wrong, there has to be a standard of right. Wrong means you have deviated from what is right. So we need to understand God's standard of right. And God has established a standard. In considering the subject of sin again, There must be an established standard. By that we mean there must be an established guideline. There has to be an established rule of measure. Has to be. There has to be a principle, a criteria, a pattern that determines what is right and what is wrong. Who determines what is right and what is wrong? Well, God already has. God has an established standard. That standard has never changed. The very word sin, just that very word, implies an established rule or standard. The very mention of evil and good implies a standard. Notice in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. Isaiah 5, verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Okay, you have two words there, each used twice. Evil and good. Well, if there is, what is the standard that determines evil? What is the standard that determines good? Is it just left to man's opinion? Or is there an established standard that determines this is evil, this is good? Well, the very words evil and good imply or necessitate an established standard. And we keep using the word established because if you keep moving the standard, then evil and good changes all the time. That's what the world loves to do. Man is a standard to himself in the world's eyes. That standard is always changing. Therefore, evil and good is always changing. But God has an established standard of measure that determines this is evil. Doesn't matter what the time is. Doesn't matter what the circumstances are. Doesn't matter what the place is. This is evil. And this is good. An established standard. The mention of the word wicked and the unrighteous. Notice in Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. And verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. So we have the wicked, we have the unrighteous. Well, what is the standard? Who determines what is wicked? Who determines what is unrighteous? Somebody must. There has to be some standard that determines this is wicked, this is unrighteous. So just the very mention of these words again, imply a standard. The mention of unrighteousness. It's mentioned 21 times in the Word of God. The word righteousness occurs 306 times. So, those two words, unrighteous and righteous, imply that there is a standard of measure. Something that says, this is unrighteous, this is righteous. There has to be a guiding principle that declares this is right, this is wrong. And that principle is, again, established by God. Notice in Micah chapter 6, Micah chapter 6, and verse 8. He that showed thee, O man, what is good, What is good? Well, there has to be a standard that determines that. There has to be something by which we measure good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly. Who determines what is just? There has to be a standard. There has to be a guideline. There has to be a pattern. So we are to do justly. We're to do good. There's a standard. The word unruly. Unruly. That means to be unruly is, again, the very word implies there's a standard of rule. Unruly is to break that standard. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you see, this is why people, they do what is wrong. They don't even see it as wrong. Our whole society is like that. They do that which is wicked, and they don't see it as wicked. Why? Because their standard of measure, they have no moral compass. They have no standard of measure other than their own mind. But God has established a standard, and we'll get to that. But in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly." Well, this is something we are to do toward the unruly. So we have to know when they're acting unruly. There has to be something that determines, okay, this is unruly. And then we are to warn them. So again, the very word implies a standard. Notice Titus chapter 1, verse 6. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. He's talking about qualifications here of a pastor, but it not accused of riot or unruly. So even to make the accusation that is unruly, you have to have a standard by which you base that upon. So again, the very word necessitates a standard. And again, that standard can't keep changing, because then that which is unruly keeps changing. And that's part of the problem today. James 3, verse 8 talks about the tongue. It says it's an unruly evil. There you have two words that imply a standard, unruly and evil. It's an unruly or undisciplined evil. All the words, if you go back to Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, and you follow, and we'll get to this, but you see where Romans 1 begins in verse 18, but then where it ends in verses 29 to 31. But every one of these words necessitates a standard. Backbiters. What determines if someone is a backbiter? What determines that? There has to be a standard. Haters of God. What determines that? Despiteful. What determines that? Proud. There has to be a standard. This is pride. This is humility. There has to be a standard. Boasters. Inventors of evil things. Once again, who determines what is an evil thing? Disobedient to parents. What determines disobedience? There has to be a standard. Without understanding, covetous or covenant breakers. Without natural affection. There has to be a standard that determines this is natural, this isn't. This is natural affection. This is not natural affection. Well, the polls say that's not the standard. Implacable, unmerciful. All of those things imply that there is a standard. So what is the standard? Well, first off, God's established standard is Himself. It's Himself. You say, well, God's standard is His Word. That's very true. It is. And you cannot separate God and His Word. But I believe the Bible very clearly declares that God's established standard is Himself. It's who He is. So if you don't believe God, you've done away with your stand. You've done away with an established standard. Therein lies the problem. The logo, I should have brought it. Yeah, most of you, everybody's seen it. Not everybody knows what it is when they see it. The logo of the American Humanist Association says, good without God. Good without a God. No such thing. No such thing. Good without a God. That pretty much sums up the humanist viewpoint on everything. Good without a God. What they're saying also is, if there is a God, that's not good. Good without a God. There's three humanist manifestos. In the Humanist Manifesto number 2, 1972, I believe, under the Article of Ethics, states this: we affirm that moral values derive their source from human experience. That says a lot. What they're saying is that human experience determines moral values. Everyone's experience is different. You've done away with standard. You've done away with an established standard. Ethics are autonomous. That means they're independent of everything. There's no standard. You see what they thrive on doing away with the standard. Ethics are autonomous and situational. So situations become our standard, needing no theological or ideological sanction. In other words, there are no rules, whether they be theological or ideological, there are no rules that determine ethics. In other words, everyone determines their own ethics. Ethics stem from human need and interest. Human need and interest. In other words, if it feels good, do it. They are saying that man does not need sanction outside of himself. Man does not need a rule outside of himself. We see that illustrated here in Romans chapter 1. It is saying that man is his own standard, and that depends upon situations and whatever the need is at the hour, and interest. They believe that. Most of the world believes that. two generations at least, almost 100% believe that, whether they admit it or not. You talk to them long, you don't have to talk to them very long. You bring up any moral or social subject, and their humanistic viewpoint is everywhere. All you have to do, you don't even have to bring up the Bible, just bring up social issues, and humanism just comes out. It comes out everywhere. Here's the truth. We as God's people, our view on social issues must be in line with the Word of God. If they are not, that's humanism. You call it whatever you want. But it's humanism. As God's people, our social views must be in line with what God's Word says. So, there is a standard. There is an established standard. That standard is God Himself. That standard has never, ever changed because God is immutable. That standard never will change. So it doesn't matter what year we live in. The standard is God Himself. The standard remains the same. The Bible declares, though humanism declares, that man is the standard. Man sets his own standard. And that, I mean, just common sense, that opens up all kinds of problems. That opens up, if you have 2,000 different standards for the same thing, if you have a brain cell firing, you know that causes a lot of problems. The end result is not good. But the Bible plainly declares that man does not set the standard, nor is man ever the standard. Notice in Proverbs 14, Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man. How many times have you heard someone say, well, I don't see anything wrong with it? No, you don't, because you don't have a proper standard. They commit fornication. And I've had them tell me, Brother Dan, I don't see anything wrong with it. God hasn't convicted me that it's wrong. Well, do you realize what you've just said? First of all, you've admitted that you're lost. Because God, if you're saved in your heart, you know that's wrong. But when you say God hasn't convicted, be honest. I would much rather hear someone say, I know it's wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. Than say, well, God didn't tell me it was wrong. Well, that means God doesn't speak to you at all. So there is a way which seemeth right unto a man. And that's why if someone has no standard, or if they themselves are their standard, you might as well talk to that wall. You can show them God's Word. This is wrong. But the God's Word don't mean a thing to them. I know what it says, but I just don't feel that way. I don't feel guilty. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man. What seems right unto a man? If it makes me happy. How many times people have told me they're living in sin? I'm the happiest I've ever been. Well, that's quite a statement also. In other words, I do it because it makes me happy. There is a way that seemeth right. But the end thereof are the ways of death. It doesn't just say the end thereof is death. That's not what that says. But the end thereof are the ways of death. What is death? Death is a separation. When Adam and Eve died in the garden, spiritually they died. There was an estrangement from God. The end of what man thinks is right but is wrong is estrangement from God, alienation from God, which leads to another, a whole another set of problems. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 10, Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. Man is not the standard. Man is never the standard. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. The standard of what is right is ultimately and inseparably rooted in the unchanging nature of God. God ordained the standard to be himself. And that is why man would like the evolutionist, the atheist, the agnostic, all of those, they're all related to some degree. They all do away with God. And it's very important that they do that. Because that does, in their mind, that does away with the standard. Now they become the standard. God has revealed to man how he ought to live based upon his own character, based upon his own nature. And that would be a good place to stop, and we'll continue next week. But in understanding sin, we understand that there is an established standard. Home Baptist Church is not the standard. How many times I've heard, well, I'm just tired of the rules. Well, first of all, Home Baptist Church is not the standard. God is the standard. And it's not that you're just tired of the church. You're tired of God. You're tired of His Word. It's much easier for people to say, I'm just tired of the rules of the church. Well, hopefully the rules of the church align with the rules of God. So what they're really saying is, I'm just tired of God. I'm tired of God's Word. God is the established standard. Don't let anybody off the hook when they say, I've been under the rules of the church for X amount of years and I'm tired. Don't let them get off that easy. No, it's not the rules of the church that you have a problem with. You have a problem with God. You have a problem with this book. And let's just get that established right away. Now, the one of two things are going to happen. They're either going to get right or they're going to get mad. Most of the time they get mad. But don't let them go away thinking, you know, it's the church's rules. Oh, no. It's not. Our rules are to be in line, and I believe our rules are in line with the Scriptures. But people want to be a rule to themselves. So we need to understand that there is an established standard, and God is that standard. And that standard covers everything. It covers everything. It covers every aspect of our lives. There's nothing uncovered. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, that you have set an established standard. And we know, Lord, in our hearts that that standard is for our good, for our benefit, for our advantage, that standard gives us protection throughout our lives. We thank you, Lord, for setting an a standard. We thank you, Lord, for revealing to us that standard. We thank you, Lord, for each one here that realizes that you have an established standard. We pray, Lord, that you would just help us to understand more and more all the time the preciousness of your standard of what's right and what's wrong. We pray, Lord, that you'd meet with us this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.